Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Let's talk about this. Give Us the Night are an independent volunteer group of professionals operating within the nighttime industry. They are campaigning for positive changes to nightlife in Ireland, with particular focus on music venues. Their aim is to highlight the contribution of nighttime industry to culture, community and the economy in Ireland, and to raise the quality of nightlife to international standards, because we're not there, are we? Far from it. Well, I'm joined now in studio by Robbie Kitt, who is a DJ and producer from Dublin and member of the Give Us the Night team. And we've spoken before, and Robbie is here. Hello.
Hello again.
Hello again. We were just talking off air. I can't believe this campaign, you said, is 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I've only been involved for the last six, but Sunil Sharp, the founder of the campaign, founded it in 2004. So, yeah, these problems have been kind of ongoing and quite long standing.
And fair play to everybody involved, for because you're still banging on that door and trying to get stuff done. And for those who are not familiar with this campaign or its motives, can you just tell us a bit about the problem that exists and why you feel the need to make a change?
Yeah, well, I suppose you kind of touched on it in the intro. Like, in the kind of the general aim of the campaign is to modernise conditions in Ireland's kind of, as they call it, nighttime economy for music venues, late night music venues, but particularly, I suppose, nightclubs, dance spaces. Like, for us, I think a big concern for us is the access to dance spaces in this country. Like, so something that we've kind of highlighted a lot with the campaign is the eradication of dance floor spaces. And so, stat that we've trotted out a lot of the time is in 2001, there was like 522 nightclubs in the country. Now, today, there's like 89 nightclubs in the country. A recent stat actually that Sunil found was that in 1952, there was over 1,200 licensed dance halls in the country. So, like, I suppose just even thinking about, you know, often I think about Ireland of the past and how conservative it was, but it's, I think, kind of shocking to me that they actually had greater access to dance spaces than we do today. In terms of the problems that are faced by these kind of businesses that are trying to operate in the nighttime economy, they're like, there's so many. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, what needs to be recognized, these businesses aren't typically massive profit-making businesses already, you know. Cultural businesses, and like anybody who works in the cultural sector will tell you, it's not the most lucrative industry to get into unless you find yourself maybe at the very top of the industry. So, you know, and like, even like, you know, there's a lot of spaces out there that are actually cultural spaces that we think could act as really suitable dance floor spaces, but they're subsidized spaces. A lot of, like, you know, theaters and art spaces, these are already subsidized to function, you know. So it's a very challenging environment for these businesses anyway. But then there's issues like insurance, which is a massive one, but something that we've been focusing particularly on has been licensing, which kind of relates to the permissions on how cultural businesses and late night music venues are kind of allowed to function late at night, particularly after 12 o'clock at night.
We'll get to that in a second, but let's talk about the benefits and why it's so important to get these spaces active and people in them.
Yeah, well, like, I think, like, for me, for, like, straight, like,
go on,
I love dancing, you know, and I think dancing is special, you know. I think it's quite a unique experience for people to have, you know, to be in a physical space with other people and be moving your body in response to music. As simple as that sounds, I think that's kind of a special thing to be doing. So on a basic level, I think, you know, that is a pretty healthy activity. But I think in a wider sense, particularly when it comes to young people, like, we have to recognize that there is no real access for young people these days to any sort of diverse array of social spaces at night for them to go out and to build the foundations of their lives. And I think particularly when we're like living in an age which has become so digital, and I suppose digital social technologies have kind of taken over a lot of our lives. You know, we all spend, I'm sure, too much time on the phone. And I think there's even a lack of recognition in that, that when you're on the phone, you know, you're not engage in as kind of a, like, you know, I don't want to say normal, but like, in, you know, an organic social experience with another human being, you know what I mean? And I think in the wake of that, like, in, we're kind of, you know, it's for me, I think it's just a really kind of simple kind of basic need of our society that we have this social infrastructure. And I think we actually also have to recognize how challenging it is for those businesses, considering that their competition now is Netflix and Instagram and TikTok. And so our aim has always been to create a more diverse nighttime economy, such that there's cultural businesses that can actually, I suppose, attract people out of their houses and into our cities and towns across the country, and just engage them in, you know, normal physical activity.
Blown off steam and interacting with people from different cohorts of society and having fun and getting out of their faces,
it's
out of their phones.
Kind of depressing to have to talk about it in those terms, but that's exactly what we're after. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it is missing in our society at the moment, I think.
One of the proposals being put forward is a nighttime economy advisors. Can you explain what the role would be there and how would that operate?
So basically, as I said, kind of like the campaign has been working on a few different fronts.
Yeah.
And so this work kind of came out of our work with the Department of Culture through this body that we've established during COVID called the Nighttime Economy Task Force. And so we've been able to achieve a lot of things through that body, because it's I suppose, a real aim of us of our campaign has been to establish like the cultural importance of this type of activity within our economy. And so working with the Department of Culture, it kind of makes sense for us to be doing that work with them. They established these nighttime economy advisors in, I think, 9 pilot situations in towns and cities across the country. Dublin has one, Cork, Limerick. They're dotted all around the country, but there's also places in, like, Buncrana has one. So for small towns and large cities, essentially the role will be operating within local authorities. So they'll be in the councils and they'll be working with local authorities. The idea, I think, is to create kind of a bridge between, I suppose, the stakeholders in the nighttime economy, because there's a lot of issues and there's a lot of challenges that are, like, you know, face businesses, but also people who are, like, living in towns and cities. And often, I think, we approach nightlife from the point of view of the problems that it brings, and we don't really kind of have advocates that can, I suppose, advocate for the positive side of those things. So I'd hope that nighttime economy advisor position can advance some of those things. But at the same time, it has to be said, like, there's, like, you know, that we'll get on to talking about it, I'm sure, but the opening hours and, like, the licensing reform that has been announced and was kind of, it should have really been in place by now for the appointment of these kind of officials. So without that kind of reform, it's kind of, they're a little bit hamstrung in what they can do.
So where are we with the reform? I mean, how far have we gotten them and what do we need to do?
It's still ongoing. Like, you know, listen, at the end of the day, my experience with this government is that they're very good at announcing things that they're going to do, but sometimes when it comes to actually doing those things, they're not great at following through. So I suppose, just give your listeners a little bit of an outline of what that reform is. I suppose a lot of people have heard about, you know, opening hours being extended in the news. So what this relates to is basically something called the Sale of Alcohol Bill. And the Sale of Alcohol Bill basically relates to how alcohol is sold in any kind of context in the country. And the government, at the start of their government, said that they were going to reform this bill. Like, we're dealing within that bill with incredibly conservative, kind of archaic systems that date back to the 19th century. So it's been long standing that this bill requires reform. But I suppose also this bill really limits the type of activity that cultural businesses can engage in, because they don't really have full access to, you know, the range of commodities available in the nighttime economy, to put it in those terms.
Sure.
So basically, it's because their behavior and their functions are so curtailed, it really throws up a massive barrier to those kind of businesses. Now, the reality is that, like, in these laws won't change things overnight. There's still massive issues in relation to insurance and the fact that these kind of businesses aren't incredibly profitable in the first place. But I suppose these permissions have to be changed such that businesses can actually open late. And, like, we have some of the earliest closing hours in Ireland. We don't have anything such as a late night license in Ireland. If you want to go late in this country, you have to pay for a license every single night that you go late. And the cost of it is the equivalent of what it costs annually in some other countries to have a late license. So these are the kind of things that are changing. In terms of where we're at with it, the provisional legislation was published in 2022. And now, it still hasn't actually been published and presented to the Dáil. So we're still waiting for that bill to be published. We're under the impression that that will hopefully happen in the coming weeks. But what
have you been saying that for a long time?
We have been told this as well. And so, you know, listen, that's just the information that we have. But again, we're getting this information from the government, and again, they're not often true to their word in this regard. It breaks my heart, unfortunately. But also, what we're under the impression is that this bill will be actually significantly reduced from the first published legislation. So it's going to deal with essentially late night opening hours and the kind of the rules that apply to venues. We still have to remain to see what the content of those that reform will be. But hopefully, I think there's the intention that this will be in, brought in before the summer. That's pretty ambitious from what I hear talking to people who kind of deal with legislation.
So while that's happening in the background and you're trying to make Ireland a better place for the young people, give them somewhere to go and have a bit of a dance, what is happening in the meantime? Are these, like, what are you guys, like producers and musicians and DJs? I mean, I see these nights crop up and pop up across the city and, well, mainly in Dublin. Is that how you're trying to get around or try and get people back dancing?
It's like, yeah, again, like I think the main issue really is access to space. Like
space.
That, and that is kind of like, you know, as we kind of documented in the loss of infrastructure in relation to the loss of nightclubs. Like if you're talking about losing 400 spaces in the last 20 years where people could go and dance, that's going to have a huge knock-on effect for cultural communities who want to use those spaces for events. And the situation now on the ground for cultural communities is that they just don't really have access to space. And in a wider sense, I think, you know, how property is treated in our national economy, the use of property for cultural and kind of social uses, it's not really prioritized. That's not really, I think, high up on the government's agenda. For me, it's a massive blind spot because I think it means that basically you kind of ignore this social and emotional health that needs to be considered of the general population, particularly when it comes to young people, I think, and like being able to build their futures here. But like for older people as well, I'm 33 and I still want to go out and I want to keep on dancing until I get into my 40s and 50s. And I don't really see a future for me doing that in Ireland.
So you need to go to Berlin.
Yes, but this is the thing. And like, as in, I suppose those kind of examples show you how you can use different types of infrastructure for events. Like one of the things about Ireland is that we're kind of hamstrung in that the only place you can really organise a late night event in this country is in a pub. This is not to knock pubs. I love pubs. They're a very important part of our cultural infrastructure. But at the same time, only having that space to organise an event in, even from a practical point of view, like if you're an event organiser trying to organise something in a pub, the pub owner is typically only interested in the bar take and they're not really interested in the quality of the event that you're putting on. If you're running that event in a, you know, a culturally designated space, then typically that kind of dynamic changes. So something that we've been trying to do, particularly through the Nighttime Economy Task Force, is activate publicly funded art spaces, you know, because a lot of these spaces are sitting absolutely idle after 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. There's no use of them. And like, really, there's not that much needed for a dance floor, a dance spaces. A lot of these kind of publicly funded art spaces as well are highly accessible. They've already kind of received a lot of grants to kit themselves out to be really accessible spaces. And even if we take, for example, like the National Concert Hall ran the Haunted Dance Hall, the first iteration of it went until 3 o'clock in the morning. This was in 2022. And like something like that, I think, is like a really good illustration of what the capacity of our national cultural institutions are. You know, it should be noted as well, within their licensing criteria, the National Concert Hall can actually open at any time. So they are actually not curtailed by the same kind of rules that are, you know, kind of inhibit different types of businesses in the nighttime economy. They can go till 6-7 o'clock in the morning if they want to. They don't really want to, but at the same time, the space is there and it's desperately needed by cultural communities. So in the kind of waiting for the government to kind of get their skates on with this legislation, we've been kind of trying to activate these other types of cultural spaces and show how theatres, galleries, these kind of spots could be really desperately useful for cultural communities who are just starved of space and access to it.
Thank you so much for coming in and chatting about this. It's a really, really important thing to get involved in. If you feel strongly about it or you want more information, what can people do? And if you need help and support, what are you asking people for?
Yeah, listen, we always say, like, follow us on our socials. I think in the next coming, like in the coming weeks, this legislation in terms of licensing reform is going to be published and it's going to be debated in the Dáil. And so, you know, we're going to be definitely ramping up our activity. We're going to be trying to see, make sure that the kind of the criteria that we've advocated for in relation to the benefits of this reform reaching cultural businesses stays in the bill. So we're going to need support on that. Something that you can do, I know it's saying, and it's like people always say it, write to your local representatives, but it does actually matter. If you could like write to your TDs and tell them and express to them how important, you know, access to dance spaces, access to cultural spaces at night, how kind of the absence of that in your social life is, you know, really, I think, dangerous for our society as a whole, really, in a lot of ways. So, you know, expressing that to your local representatives matters, because, to be honest, those local representatives are going to be debating this legislation in the coming weeks in the Dáil. So any support in that regard is really, really important.
Well said. There we go. DJ and producer Robbie Kidd, thank you so much for coming into the studio. And you can go to the website. Give Us the Night is the website. Give Us the Night website.
The Instagram, probably the best.
Okay, Instagram. And it's Give Us the Night on Instagram.
Yeah, Give Us the Night.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.